Hello, and welcome to the Treehouse Letter, where we're always learning with a bit of fun. This is Milin Shatten, your host and producer, and tonight's podcast is Haley's message. Friday was a cold, sunny day. The alarm was set for 6:15 a.m., and that would give me enough time to make it across the Hudson River. I woke very early and could not sleep. So I wrote a letter to go with the chocolate chip cookies I had baked. I got back in bed, still no sleep. I rested and did a mental scan of my wardrobe. Black was the color of the day. So, black turtleneck, dark print skirt, warm boots with hat and gloves. Military funerals mean being outside for a while. In times like these, I have learned to focus on small things so that I don't have to think of the big things. My friend's son, Steve, died in a helicopter crash in the Eastern Mediterranean Sea as part of an effort to help stabilize tensions in the region after the Hamas attack on Israel. All five American soldiers on board died on November 10th during the nighttime aerial refueling exercise. They are part of the U.S. Army Special Ops Aviation Regiment, 160th SOAR. Steve leaves behind a wife and three young boys. The graveside service would be at the West Point Cemetery that morning. Steve died 3 months after Haley died. She died when a German truck ran into her military convoy. She was in the lead vehicle, a Striker. I had attended her memorial and texted her mother to ask if she wanted me to share a message or scripture at her gravesite after Steve's service. Her mom wrote, "Thanks for visiting Haley's grave today. Please tell her her mama loves and misses her so much." She included the verse, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." 1 John 4, 7 and 8. And then she wrote, "That's the first verse I found highlighted and underlined in Haley's Bible." And I was happy to have something to share. On the way to the cemetery, I thought about what to listen to. Music and podcasts did not appeal to me. And neither did the new books I downloaded after closing my Audible account. Silence, which I typically enjoy and crave, meant being with my thoughts over an hour both ways. That timeless work, The Four Loves, seemed fitting, and one I've been wanting to read. The book is the only professional recording of C.S. Lewis in his own voice. And I wanted to listen to him since these were lectures he had given. He discussed with inimitable wit and charm the four types of love: storge, S-T-O-R-G-E, philia, eros, and agape, or A-G-A-P-E. The Greek terms roughly equate to storge for affection, as in the parent for the child, philia for friendship, eros for lovers, and agape for Christian love or charity. On the way to the cemetery, old Jack, as he was known to friends, pontificated on the four loves and the at times nefarious manner that we twist and mangle them in deed and in thought to be the undoing of otherwise loving relations. Now, at home that evening, I settled into my reading or rereading of Leo Tolstoy's short works. Yes, there are short stories. I opened the book where I had left off, a popular story I'd read years ago, What Men Live By. The book has three tabs, and I had placed it in it, and this was the first, What Men Live By. Now, I have a photo on the site of this, and at the epigraph are several citations from 1 Epistle St. John. So it's worth noting that I do not go to church in the traditional sense, nor do I read the Bible with regularity. So I hadn't recognized the references, 1 Epistle St. John, to be the same as 1 John. My mind was slow to catch the exact verbiage, but I did grasp the idea, the broader theme about love. And then I began to see it, and not for the first time that day. The third citation is 1 Epistle St. John, Roman numerals IV, and then 7-8. And that is the same as Haley's verse, 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So that's Haley's verse. Now here's Leo Tolstoy's third citation on the tabbed page of the book. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. 1 Epistle St. John, Roman numeral IV, 7-8. So on the final page of the story, which I had highlighted years ago, and there's a picture of that for the site, Leo Tolstoy's What Men Live By. The highlighted passage of Tolstoy's story struck me then as it does now. And all men live not by the thought that they spend on their own welfare, but because love exists in man. Still further, Tolstoy writes, he who has love is in God, and God is in him, for God is love. Now, Christian, theist, pantheist, Buddhist, or whatever religion or philosophy one subscribes to, it is easy to get behind love as God, or in God, or in him, or in her, as it may be. That possession that the person who has love is in God and that God is in them, they are godlike when filled with love. Now, I went online to find the lectures which I had listened to on the way to Steve's service. A later life conversion to theism and ultimately to Christianity, C.S. Lewis was a notable scholar and apologist, appealing to skeptics like his younger self. Now, here is the opening to the four loves. Quote, God is love, says St. John. Now, when I first tried to write this book, I thought that his maxim would provide me with a very plain high road through the whole subject. I thought I should be able to say that human lives deserve to be called loves at all, just insofar as they resembled that love, which is God. The first distinction I made was therefore between what I called gift love and need love. The typical example of gift love would be that love which moves a man to work and plan and save for the future well-being of his family, which he will die without sharing or seeing. Of the second, that which sends a lonely or frightened child to its mother's arms, and so forth. And that is an excerpt from the four loves that I had listened to in the car. So it is late in the evening on Friday. I'm not sure what to make of all this. The verse in triplicate, the first time from Haley's mom in the morning, the second time from a lecture in the car, the third time from a book that evening. Stunned, I fell back in the sofa. Clearly, the Christian is familiar with St. John's ideas of love and God. But for me, this seemed personal. This was a message. And it is one that has slowly taken root, not over years, but decades. Love is God, God is love. Is it providence? Divine guidance or care, God conceived as the power sustaining and guiding human destiny? Or is it coincidental to come across this 3 times on the day of the funeral? Does such a message overlap or touch or run at the very heart of the sacred oath that officers take to support and defend, to take such an oath with God as witness? And I include the oath in full online, which is that I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter. so help me God. And that is the oath of the commissioned officer. Look, I don't know the answers, but this verse will be Haley's message, for God is love. When I couldn't sleep that morning, I wrote the card to my friend who had to bury her son, to include it with cookies baked in my kitchen with love, food to nourish the body, and now a message to nourish the soul. I wrote and told her that I visited the cemetery often, that it was a beautiful and serene place, and that I would stop by and visit him. He is in good company. May God rest his soul. Be thou at peace. Now that's the end of the letter. In the footnotes, I have a biography or an obituary of both Steve and Haley, as well as links to their sites. And just some comments about how I wanted to approach this letter to respect both the deceased, my friends, and their family. We are lucky that we have folks willing to make this kind of sacrifice, this final measure of devotion, because I think it provides context and inspiration on the kind of love that goes beyond all the rest. And so I close with a footnote about this letter, which is often used about those in the military. A greater love than this hath no one, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And may they rest in peace. Thank you, as always, for listening.